Welcome, deep divers. Have you ever walked away from a chat thinking, nailed it? Totally on the same
Oh,
page.
absolutely. It happens all the time.
Only to find out later you were both like reading completely different books. It's pretty universal, isn't it? William H. White said it right. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place.
That's such a great quote and really sums it up.
So today we're doing a deep dive into that, well, that very complex illusion, our mission to unpack the how, the when, the what of communication. Because honestly, with all the ways you can communicate now, phones, email, social media, everything, understanding this stuff has never been more crucial for everything, really. Personal life, work life.
And that's precisely it. Think about conducting an orchestra. If you don't have a conductor, you've got all these musicians, different instruments. That's just chaos, right?
Total noise, yeah.
Communication is kind of like that. So many inputs, so many influences. It can get just as messy if we don't, take charge. You have to be your own conductor, guide it effectively.
Be your own conductor. I like that. Okay, so let's break it down then. What is communication fundamentally? Our sources give a couple of key definitions.
Right.
First one, a process by which information is exchanged between individuals through a common system of symbols, signs, or behavior. Seems pretty straightforward.
On the surface, maybe.
But then there's this other layer emphasizing the why. Giving, receiving, or exchanging ideas, information, signals, or messages through appropriate media, enabling individuals or groups to persuade, to seek information, to give information, or to express emotions.
And what's really interesting there, as you said, is that word process.
Yeah, process.
It's not just like point A sending a packet of data to point B. It's way more dynamic. It's complex. It's always shifting. It's about connecting, influencing, sharing meaning. That's where things get tricky.
Right, sharing meaning. And when we think process, we often just think words, right? Speaking, writing.
The obvious stuff.
But the sources really stress how much happens without words. We've got the vocal stuff, face-to-face, phone calls, written emails, texts, visual logos, maps, signs. But then there's the big one, nonverbal. Body language, your tone, gestures, facial expressions, even like what you're wearing or where you sit. How much do you think really gets communicated that way? We tend to overlook it, don't we?
Oh, massively. Some studies say it's like upwards of 70% of the message is nonverbal.
70%.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And we overlook it because it's often subconscious, how we said it, how we read it. But it's powerful because it's so immediate. It often feels more real than the words.
How so?
Well, your posture, or a tiny frown, or maybe just crossing your arms that can completely contradict what you're saying out loud.
Right. Undermines the whole thing.
Exactly. It reshapes the message for the listener. And the tool you choose matters too, right? A quick text to say running late is different from a detailed email for a project or needing that face-to-face for something sensitive. Each one carries its own sort of nonverbal weight or lack of it.
It really shows we're kind of always communicating, even subtly. And if you think about your day, pretty much everything involves some form of communication, serving different purposes.
Totally.
Sometimes it's just being friendly, saying, excuse me, smiling at someone, posting a photo online for your friends, simple connection.
Yeah, the everyday stuff.
Other times it's practical, seeking information, asking your professor for clarification, asking for directions.
But then there's the big one,
Yeah.
relationships,
Yeah.
building them, keeping them going,
Yeah.
project partners, dates, friendships. Communication is the absolute bedrock.
Absolutely.
And that's where it gets really critical because, flawed communication, that
Yeah.
can seriously damage relationships, sometimes for a long time.
Yeah, misunderstandings can fester.
Exactly. So being thoughtful about how you share your ideas, it's not just about being polite. It's essential for building real connection.
Which brings us neatly to, well, the elephant in the room, technology. I mean, the transformation has been immense. Telegraph to smartphones with internet everywhere, social media changing how we learn, talk, socialize. What's the biggest shift you see from all these digital tools? Has it helped or just made things messier?
It's definitely made things more complex. I think the biggest shift is just the speed and the reach.
Instant, global.
Right. Which is amazing for some things, like collaborating or keeping up with people far away. But that speed means new rules have popped up, this idea of netiquette.
Netiquette, right? Like online manners.
Exactly. It's a code of conduct,
Yeah.
basically, because you lose so many of those nonverbal cues online. Like the sources point out, avoid using all hikiyes.
Because it feels like shouting.
Precisely. There's no tone, no facial expression to soften it. It's also why things like IMHO, in my humble opinion, caught on. It's like a text-based way of adding a shrug or a smile, you know? Acknowledging it's just your take.
That example with Demetrius in the group project email really hits this. He used all FECAP yes to assign roles, thought he was being efficient.
Just getting it done.
But his classmates felt totally steamrolled or ignored. Efficiency turned into a relationship problem, all because of a netiquette mistake.
Exactly. And it gets even stricter in formal settings, like the college netiquette stuff for online classes or official emails. Civility, proper address, complete sentences, it's expected. There's less wiggle room.
Yeah, you can't be as casual.
And this connects to what Howard Rheingold talks about, mindful participation online and the literacies we need.
Rheingold's ideas are so relevant. He starts with attention, right? Just being able to focus. Are you really listening in that online lecture, or are notifications pulling you away constantly?
It's a real battle for focus now.
And then critical consumption. Being able to tell fact from fiction online, which is, wow, harder than ever. You see some news clip on YouTube or a rumor on Facebook. You have to dig deeper. Check the source, the author.
It's not about being cynical. It's about being smart, engaged.
Yeah.
And Rheingold also talks about network awareness, understanding that what you post doesn't just reach your friends, but potentially friends of friends and beyond.
It's that ripple effect.
Huge implications for your reputation, privacy. And while social media makes it easy to contact lots of people, it can also mean we're often head down in our devices.
Missing what's right in front of us.
Yeah, maybe missing chances for new connections or deeper ones with people nearby. That reduction in nonverbal cues online isn't just about misinterpreting emails. It can thin out the richness of connection itself.
So with all these tech layers added, what's the takeaway when we step back into, well, any communication situation? It sounds like it all comes back to context.
Context is absolutely king. It covers so much. The setting, the culture of the group or place, your actual purpose for communicating, the values at play, whether the message is even appropriate, the timing. Why are you saying this now to this person?
So it boils down to really knowing your audience.
That's fundamental. Yeah.
And making strategic choices based on that context, like the example of asking a professor about a grade.
Right.
Do you text them? Probably not. Call them. Maybe. Go to office hours. That's usually the best bet, right?
Right.
Because the context demands a certain level of formality and direct interaction.
Exactly. Each choice has consequences for how effective you are. Or think about family dinner versus a work chat room. Same person, maybe even similar topic. But the rules of engagement are totally different because the context changed.
And ignoring context is where a lot of miscommunication happens.
Oh, definitely. Assuming everyone gets what you mean or sees things your way, or going into a conversation with your mind already made up about the other person.
Preconceptions.
Yeah. That's why taking that step back, just thinking, how might they hear this, not just how do I mean this, is so vital. It's about developing that empathy, that foresight.
So adapting your style to the who, when, where isn't just nice to do, it's critical for actually getting your message across effectively.
Absolutely. And that really ties into emotional intelligence, EQ. Being aware of your own feelings, how they might color your words, and trying to understand where the other person is coming from emotionally, that helps you make those smart, context-aware choices. It boosts everything.
Okay, but what about when things just go wrong? You thought you were clear, your intentions were good, but the message just lands badly. We've all been there.
Uh-huh. Surprise, confusion, frustration.
That's usually hitting a communication barrier, right?
Exactly. And there are quite a few common ones. Jargon is a big one. Using technical terms or insider language with people who don't know it. Instant barrier.
Creates confusion, exclusion.
Right. Then there are differences in perception. People just see the same thing differently based on their own background and experiences. And obvious ones like literal language differences, but also colloquialisms, sayings that just don't translate well.
Like that Anvi and Meredith example again. Anvi's culture meant not interrupting the instructor was respectful.
While Meredith's was more about directness, getting the task done.
So their different cultural considerations created a real clash, even though neither meant any harm.
Precisely. Culture shapes so many unspoken rules. And emotions are huge barriers, both yours and theirs. Stress, anger, sadness. They all distort how messages get sent and received.
Yeah, hard to communicate clearly when you're upset.
Definitely. And certain topics, politics, religion, personal stuff, can make people clam up or talk around the issue. Even physical disabilities, like hearing loss, are barriers we need to account for.
What about preconceptions and stereotypes? How we judge people before we even talk to them?
That's a subtle but powerful one. We might base how we interact or if we interact on how someone looks or what group we think they belong to.
It stops real communication before it starts.
It really can. Remember that scenario from the sources about asking for change?
Oh, yeah. Who do you ask? The person with tattoos, the older lady, the person on their phone, the parent with kids, the guy in the suit.
Our unconscious biases nudge us, even if we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the barrier is simply lack of interest or attention. If the receiver isn't tuned in, nothing gets through.
Which leads straight into listening, or more accurately, not listening. The sources stress that hearing isn't the same as listening.
Not at all. Steve Hines said, "We all feel better when we feel listened to, and we feel even better when we feel understood." That understanding part requires active listening.
So how do you actively listen?
Well, first, sounds obvious, but stop talking. You can't listen while you're talking.
Right.
Second, get rid of distractions. Put the phone down. Make eye contact if appropriate. Be present.
Focus.
Third, empathy. Try to really grasp their feelings and perspective before jumping in with solutions. Often, people just want to be heard.
Not fixed.
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, confirm you understood. Repeat back what you heard. Like at a drive-thru. Okay, so that was one burger, no pickles, and a diet soda.
Correct. Yeah, makes sense. Avoids mistakes.
Reduces misinterpretation significantly.
And beyond these general barriers, our own identities play a role too, don't they? Like cultural identity, gender, age, they create different perspectives.
Absolutely. Your cultural identity, nationality, ethnicity, religion, class, region, all that comes with its own set of communication norms, values, even language styles. It shapes how you see the world and how you express yourself.
Then gender identity. Societal expectations and perceptions about gender can influence communication styles, maybe expectations about emotional expression, for example. And assumptions based on gender can definitely cause problems.
They really can. And age is a massive factor. Different generations have such different lived experiences, different cultural touchstones, music, world events, language, and especially different relationships with technology.
Like trying to explain TikTok to your grandparents.
Exactly. You immediately hit that generational communication gap.
Yeah.
You have to adjust your approach completely.
Which really underscores the point about college campuses.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Campuses are these amazing melting pots of different age, culture, background, experience levels. Navigating that requires real patience, openness, and lots of practice in communicating across those differences. Mm-hmm. Look, at the end of the day, communication is just fundamental. It's a basic building block of society, of our relationships, of everything.
It really is.
The better you get at navigating all these options, understanding context, spotting those barriers, the more effective and honestly, probably more fulfilled your life and connections will be.
That's a powerful point. And you, listening right now, you have this amazing ability to connect with so many different people. Remember that everyone brings their own context, their own purpose, their own perspective to the table.
Both sender and receiver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just taking that moment to think about their side before you hit send or before you respond, that can make a world of difference.
Huge difference.
So here's something to chew on. Technology lets us communicate instantly, globally, massively, but often strips away those nonverbal cues, right? The tone, the body language.
Yeah, the richness can get lost.
So are we as a society actually becoming more or maybe less empathetic because of how we communicate now? And what steps can you personally take beyond just picking the right words to bridge that potential understanding gap?
It's a big question, something worth reflecting on. Keep practicing that mindful participation. Keep honing those communication skills. It's a lifelong journey, but it benefits every single part of your life.